Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, the teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to The Teacher. This is Ali, and today we're going to be talking about the issue of predestination and free will in the context of the social and political factors. One of the issues which is directly related to the issue of justice of the Creator, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the question of predestination or free will. According to the fatalists, these fatalists are those who believe in predestination. A human being has no choice, whatever in his or her acts, behaviors, or words. And the movements of his organs are just like the predestined movements of the parts of a machine, just like a robot. Thus, this question arises, how does this opinion relate to divine justice? The truth is that the issue of predestination and free will throughout the history has been misused. A series of predestined factors have increased the belief in fatalism and the denial of free will of a human being. And among these factors are the first one that we're going to be talking about today, a political factor. Many of the despotic and selfish politicians, in order to extinguish the fire of revolution among the deprived, in order to assure the continuation of their illegal rule, for every rule or regime which oppresses the people and denies people their rights is illegal from the point of view of Islam, brothers and sisters, you should know that. They convince the people, through all the means available to them, that they have no free will, that predestination and predetermination of history holds our destiny in its hands. If one group rules and another is ruled, this is a rule of fate and destiny of history. It is clear how this kind of thinking can narcotize people and aid the policies of colonialism. Whereas according to our intellect and our divine law, our destiny and fate lies in our own hands. And fate and destiny in the sense of predestination and predetermination does not exist. It is not a phenomena that is real. Divine fate and destiny is determined through our movements, desires, willpower, determination, faith, efforts and endeavors we make. This is why when we listen to the scholars of Islam, especially those who are leading and guiding the Muslim Ummah, let's talk about Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Muslim Ummah. When he talks, if you listen to his speeches, just notice how many times he brings about the sense of responsibility that you have to stand up, you have to build your country, you have to build the Islamic civilization, you, the people, have to oppose oppression throughout the world. Let it be in Palestine, let it be in Yemen, let it be in Iraq, let it be in Afghanistan, let it be in Pakistan, let it be in Bahrain, anywhere. So he puts a responsibility on your shoulders. Why? Because he knows that you have that free will. If you have the determination, and we saw this before the Islamic Revolution that took place in Iran. Before 1979, people stood up against the despotic regime of Shah. And people stood for their rights. They brought about the Islamic Revolution. Now, if there was no free will and it was all predetermined, why in the world would somebody sacrifice their lives knowingly? And if you listen to their wills and if you read those wills and talk to their relatives and parents, they would tell you that there was that determination and faith that actually resulted in the Islamic Revolution. So we're going to go for a short break, and once we come back, we're going to be talking about some other factors, and this first one we talked about was the political factor. Stay with us.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Brother Mahdi. The discussion, do Muslims believe that people have no choice and everything is in the hands of Allah, even socio-political matters? Now, there is a group of Muslims that in the past and even today, whom believe that people have no choice in anything, and that all control is only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and rather we have no free will at all. This ideology is rather flawed because according to the pure teachings of Islam, which we have received by means of the Holy Quran, the Divine Messenger of Allah, and the 12 divinely appointed Imams, there is neither complete free will nor totally unchangeable predestination. Rather, it is a matter in between these two. So yes, people have a great choice in their fate and destiny, keeping in mind, of course, that the control of the universes is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Supreme, the Wise, the Merciful, the Great. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, His Divine Word, Allah does not change the condition of the people until they first change themselves, meaning that we need to be active, we need to strive to change, if we want a better life in this world and in the hereafter. Now, one such matter that is necessary for us to be able to have a successful life is that of socio-political matters. Now, if our government is corrupt, full of lies and deceit, cruel and oppressive, then it is not possible for us to be able to have a successful life as Muslims. So yes, we have a choice in who and how we are governed. Is this not the meaning of democracy? Democracy means that we have a choice in our own government. If we have a choice, it only makes sense for us to have a government that is fair, just, and based on the foundation of truth. This government and this socio-political reality that is based upon true democracy, based upon truth and justice, based upon equality and love, is the government of Islam. Thus, it is us, we the people, that need to stand up for our rights and establish an Islamic government that will lead mankind to ultimate salvation and happiness in both this world and the next. The governments of the world that we see and have seen in the past centuries have not been able to answer to the call of the necessities of mankind, and they have not been able to provide salvation and happiness to the masses. It is rather Islam that can do this. Now, to illustrate this point in a story, we have a story about a time when Prophet Musa, peace and blessings upon him, became ill. Bani Israel, the people of Israel, came to him, and realizing and understanding what his illness was, they advised him, "If you consume this medicine, you will recover from your sickness." Now Prophet Musa said to them, "I shall not seek any cure, but will instead wait until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures me without the help of any medicine." Now Prophet Musa's illness became prolonged, whereupon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually revealed to him, "By my majesty and glory, I shall never cure you until you have consumed the medicine which they had recommended to you." Prophet Musa then asked Bani Israel to treat him with the medicine that they had previously suggested. They treated him, and shortly after that, Prophet Musa regained his health and became better. Now, this incident left Prophet Musa with a feeling of complaint and worry and dejection towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him, You desired to annul my wisdom by means of your trust in me. Is there one other than me who has placed the medicinal and beneficial effects in plants and various things? So, dear listeners, we learn one thing from this story out of the many things that we can learn, that yes, we should trust and have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, we need to strive hard and use the tools at our disposal to create a just and beautiful government based upon the pure teachings of the Holy Quran, the Holy Messenger of Allah, and the divinely appointed 12 Imams. We eagerly await your return, O Imam al-Mahdi, peace and blessings upon you, and our eyes and hearts are desperately waiting to see your kingdom of Allah established on this earth. Thanks for listening. We leave you in Allah's care.
We once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from Al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of it?
Welcome back, dear listeners. Before we went on to the break, we were talking about the concept of predestination and free will in the context of social and political factors. And we covered the political factor and said that Islamic Revolution that took place in Iran is a prime example for us to understand that human beings have a free will and this free will matters. Now, we're going to be talking about the psychological factors. We know that predestination and predetermination of fate, it has been misused throughout the history. Lazy and indifferent and lethargic individuals exist who most often meet up with defeat in life, and they never desire to admit this bitter truth that their laziness or errors have caused this defeat. Thus, in order to avoid confronting themselves with the deficiencies and developing themselves into a better people, they turn to fatalism. And fatalism is a school of thought that believes in the predestination of a human being like 100%. These people, these lazy people, lethargic people, they think that their sin is a result of coercive fate so that in this way they can find a false sense of security. They say things like, we are extremely talented and make great efforts, but unfortunately, we have no luck. What is this luck? You just didn't give it your best. You didn't try hard. Okay? So these are the psychological factors sometimes which compel one to resort to an illogical school of fatalism, where a human being starts believing that his destiny and his fate is already 100% written and he doesn't have any free will. The next factor in our list is the social factors. Some people want to be free to be able to follow their carnal desires. In every sin which is to their liking, they want to commit, and at the same time somehow convince themselves that they are not sinners and deceive society that they are sinless. Brothers and sisters, you know, every time you are about to, God forbid, do anything wrong, you do hear a voice from within, right? This wrong thing that you're about to, God forbid, do, you hear a voice from within that tells you not to do this. Like, for instance, if you're going to be, let's say, rude to someone, you do feel that there is something from inside stopping you, and that thing is telling you to be ethical. Let's say if you're going to, God forbid, steal something, you do, under normal circumstances, hear that voice, right? Some people, they just want to convince themselves that they, when they're stealing, they want to justify that stealing. How do they justify that stealing? By saying, okay, it's in my fate to have this thing, whether stolen or gifted or however, right? So this is one of the excuses some of the people have resorted to. It is here that they turn to fatalism and their carnal desires with the justification that we have no free will to choose not to do these things. But they well know that all of these are lies, and even those who make such claims and raise such issues know that they are baseless, but their pleasure and passing fantasies do not allow them to admit this truth. Thus, in order to build a healthy society, we must struggle against this fatalist way of thinking, or the concept of fatalism, belief in one's coercive destiny, which are tools used in the hands of colonialism and exploiting and exploitation, and an instrument to deceitfully justify defeat and the factor which causes corruption to progress in society. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha